Welcome to Storyworthy. My name is Christine Blackburn, and this is a very special episode of the show. And my friend and former Storyworthy guest, Suzanne Kroll, passed away last weekend. Suzanne was on the podcast a couple of years ago, and I thought I'd air this story again. It's not only so funny, but it'll be a real pleasure to hear her voice. The story is called I Touched Madonna's Arm. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Suzanne Kroll.
It's the year 2000. I'm sitting in my truck parked outside Madonna's house. The Madonna. I look down at my hands. They're shaking. Before I drove here, I downed a glass of wine. Don't judge me. It was one glass. And besides, how many times in your life are you about to drive to the Madonna's house to have dinner with the Madonna? I've been cast as the Madonna's best friend in a feature film, the role I've been waiting for my entire life, my breakout role, the role I was meant to play. The pain, the suffering, the rejection, the poverty, the desperation is finally over. The Madonna has asked me to be her guest so that we may bond before the shoot begins. Life is great. I love my life. I have a wonderful life. I turn onto her street. She lives in Los Feliz, hip, retro, yet maintaining a certain air of exclusivity, a journey back to old Hollywood, a time when movies were called pictures and legs were called gams. I'm early, so I lay low and park across from the Madonna's house. I roll my seat back and slide down. I notice hidden cameras that aren't really hidden, nestled in perfectly pretentious bushes framing the Madonna's driveway. Oh my God. The hidden cameras that aren't really hidden, nestled in the perfectly pretentious bushes framing the Madonna's driveway, probably see me parked across from the Madonna's house. I'm an ass. I'm an invited guest. Why am I stalking the Madonna? I decide to be discreet and drive further up the street to park. I look at my face in the rearview mirror. Time to reapply powder. Time to wipe off the powder I've just reapplied. I check my watch. Crap, 9 minutes left before I see the Madonna, and my buzz is wearing off. I can't meet the Madonna without a buzz. I'm not pretty enough, I'm not fat enough, and I'm not gay enough. 6 minutes. Oh, I could tell her that I've dated girls. That might give me the edge I need. We could lie on her $600,000 Turkish rug and laugh about how fun it is to touch boobies. My cell phone buzzes. It's my agent, Annie. Are you there yet? My buzz has worn off. I need a buzz. What are you worried about? She'll love you. You'll be her new Rosie O'Donnell. I'm not fat enough. Sandra Bernhardt. I'm not angry enough. I hate confrontation. I used to change the channel when Laverne yelled at Shirley. Well, tell her your mother died. Her mother died. Rosie's mother died. You'll have something in common. Oh, that's a great idea, Annie. Then we could form the Dead Mother Alliance, go nonprofit, and become besties with all the other daughters in the world with dead mothers. Just relax. Relax. You're suggesting I use my dead mother to break the ice. I look at my watch. 2 minutes. Crap. I gotta go. She screams into the phone. You're having dinner at Madonna's house! I hang up. I breathe in through my nose to the count of four. And out through my mouth to the count of six. I do this 3 times. It's supposed to relax you. I pull up to the foot of the driveway. I roll down my window and press the fancy buzzer intercom thing. I look up at the hidden camera that isn't really hidden, nestled in the perfectly pretentious bushes framing the Madonna's driveway, and wave hello at it. Jesus Christ, I'm off to a bad start. A young woman's voice comes out of the box.
Yes? Hi, it's Suzanne. I'm here. Here to have dinner with Madonna.
I suddenly fear that I have the wrong time, the wrong night, the wrong outfit.
Drive on up.
I have the right night. I have the right time. Still pretty sure I have the wrong outfit. The intimidating gate opens up and I drive on up, intimidated. I see a magnificent 1920s Mediterranean style villa. I park in the round driveway, in through my nose to the count of four, out through my mouth to the count of, oh, fuck it. I get out of the truck and make my way to the front doors. They are taller than any door should ever be. They are made of glass and covered in beautiful ornate wrought iron designs. I ring the doorbell and feel uncomfortable knowing that anyone inside can see me standing outside. I try to look interesting. I come bearing gifts, 2 beautiful candles, hopefully to be lit at the dinner table while I say something profound. An assistant type answers the door. Come on in. I walk past her into what can only be described as a mini palace. Marble floors, antique tapestries, Italian silk drapes.
I see a long wooden table ahead of me in the dining room, and on it something extraordinary. The head of the table and the seat directly to its left are beautifully set for dinner. Our dinner. Just me and the Madonna. Assistant puts her hand on my arm. Emma's just getting out of the shower. You're welcome to wait in the kitchen.
Everyone close to the Madonna calls her Em. I walk into the kitchen and find two young French women preparing dinner. They're beautiful in the way that only French women can be beautiful. The slide over bite, the square jaw, the willowy posture. I awkwardly knock into a stool. I feel like my limbs are made of stone and I'm unable to lift them gracefully. I deduct that Frenchies are the Madonna's private chefs. I chat them up. Mmm, smells delicious.
Merci.
Then I hear a voice, the voice, her voice, calling out to me.
Hello?
I come out of the kitchen to greet her. She's right out of the shower and looking radiant. I've always hated those women who could get ready like a man. Shower and go. Go screw yourself is what I say. The Madonna's hair is damp. She smells like Jo Malone, and she's not wearing an ounce of makeup. She's dressed casually in a tank top and trousers that hang low around her rock-hard abs. The first thing that comes out of my mouth is quite possibly the stupidest thing that has ever come out of my mouth. Can I touch your arms? What in holy hell is wrong with me? I should just leave, but I can't feel my feet. Then, to my surprise, she smiles, holds her arms out towards me. Sure. I walk toward her and place my hands around her biceps. I give them a small squeeze. They're extraordinary.
They're my litmus test, she says proudly. If a man doesn't like them, I know immediately he's not the one for me.
Things are going very well. So, do I call you Madonna M? Confident, I throw in a joke. Joyce? I get no laugh on Joyce. I put it behind me. I move on. She answers flatly, M. We sit down at the long, beautiful table. I start to relax. Frenchie 1 pours us each a glass of wine. I take a sip and notice her staring at the gift. I brought you something. I hand her the wrapped candles. She seems pleased to receive a gift. She then rips into the box like a child on Christmas morning.
They're beautiful. Let's light them.
She uses one of the already lit tapers at the table to light them. I lift my glass of wine to toast the characters we're playing in the film.
To Abby and Annabelle.
She repeats,
to Abby and Annabelle.
Not profound, okay, but I'm starting to feel like after the passing her arm litmus test, the candles, and the go-ahead on M, I've got this thing locked up. The salads are placed down in front of us. The Madonna proceeds to eat hers with her hands. She asks me all about my life. I launch into my spiel. She seems interested. She's a very good listener. Lots of eye contact and head nodding. I start to feel fascinating while simultaneously not feeling fascinating at all. I try not to stare at the balsamic dressing dripping through her fingers. I'm really enjoying her company, although it's difficult to navigate a give and take with someone famous because unless you've been living under a rock for the last 20 years, you already know everything about them. So when I was in high school, we all dressed up like you. She sticks some arugula in her mouth, looks at me blankly and says, "How tragic." Not the reaction I was hoping for. Two steps forward, one step back. Frenchie 1 brings our main course, some fish cooked without oil or preservatives. It tastes amazing. The Madonna uses her fork to eat her fish and begins to open up about her personal life. She talks about Sean Penn wanting to get married again, having more kids. She is nothing like who I thought she'd be. She has this whole persona, you know, this don't fuck with me thing. But one-on-one, she's quite vulnerable, almost fragile. Like at any moment, she could begin to cry. Not out of sadness, but because she seems to have a sea of very complicated emotions just below the surface. I suddenly feel like kindred spirits, for I, too, have a sea of very complicated emotions just above the surface. She mentions that she doesn't allow her daughter Lola to watch TV. Oh, I think that's a great idea. In fact, I really try to limit the amount of time I watch TV, and I'd never be one of those people who have a TV in their bedroom. That room is a sanctuary. It's the place you go to rest. I just can't imagine what kind of person would have a TV in their bedroom. I sound like some weirdo in Birkenstocks with long armpit hair. I shut up. Frenchie 2 clears our plates, and I'm a little disappointed because, frankly, I wanted seconds. I ask myself, is this really my life? Sitting at the Madonna's dinner table wishing I had more fish? I'm trying desperately to remember what I did to get here so that I'll be able to recreate it when my life sucks again. We have dessert in her living room. Oh no, I'm feeling nervous again. There's no candlelight or table to hide behind, and we're sitting on a couch.
You see, I don't have a good couch body. You need a long torso to look good on a couch, and I don't have one. When you're short-waisted and sitting on a couch, your breasts land dangerously close to your hips, giving your body a very unflattering, boxy line. I try to sit tall. I sit on my feet. Why in the world would I sit on my feet and hide my long legs? My legs are the only thing I have going for me. I take my legs out from under my ass and extend them proudly. Too proudly. I look like a howler monkey. I bring them back in a bit. I sit on a pillow. Now my breasts are dangerously close to my hips, only I'm higher up. I'm almost towering over the petite, perfectly proportioned body of the Madonna. Not a good message to send. I take the pillow out from under my ass and put it in front of my stomach. I hug it. I hold onto that damn pillow like it's a seat cushion that doubles as a flotation device. I say out loud, not meaning to, there. The Madonna just stares at me. I feel like some make-a-wish kid having one last bite of sorbet with my hero before I kick it. Desperate, I blurt out, my mother's dead. It hangs in the air. An eternity passes. I stuff some sorbet in my face. Then she speaks. Don't you hate Mother's Day? Ka-ching! Dead mother gold, baby! I am back! I push my legs out half an inch. Take that, the Madonna! Look at those fucking gams, long dead mother having gams! Make a wish on that! We finish our dessert and she gives me a guided tour of the house. The cost of one of her numerous paintings could buy me a cute little condo north of Montana. I decide that will be her Christmas gift to me. We end the tour in her bedroom, where I see at the foot of her bed what must be a 47-inch rear projection television.
Oh, shit.
I stare at it. I feel sick to my stomach. I look at it and make an indistinguishable sound. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Two steps forward, one giant step back. I'm hoping she invites me to lay in bed with her to watch home movies. Instead, the Madonna walks me out of her bedroom, gives me a crooked smile, and says, good night. She then closes the door behind her, in my face. I am left standing alone in the living room. Was it the TV thing? My wrong outfit? Have I shit myself without knowing it? I divert my attention to the seat of my pants. Dry. I follow up with a pit sniff. Powder fresh. After a few moments of standing there, feeling exactly like I did when the coolest girl in high school made fun of my flat ass, I see myself out. As I let go of the two tall glass doors with the wrought iron designs, I miscalculate how heavy that it is, and it slams closed. The sound is deafening, so loud I fear I've shattered the glass. Once on the other side, I yell out to no one in particular, sorry! In the coming days, weeks, months, and years that I've been asked to describe what meeting the Madonna, icon, maverick, superstar was like, I can only really come up with this one thing. She eats salad with her hands.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schleichinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny and I love you.